This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His refuge from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can misguide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd, the question that we want to ask ourselves today is, why do we fast Ramadan? And we're not asking this question because we are unaware of the answer. We are asking this question so that we can remember the answer. Because like everything in this life, whatever we are doing in this life, when we remember why we are doing it in the first place, we are likely to be more dedicated to it. We are likely to remember why we have fallen in love with it. We're likely to purify our intention and be more enthusiastic about it. Everything in life is like that. And we are more likely to purge it from foreign elements, from additions that hamper its production, that hamper its performance. This is typical for everything that we do in life, and it's so also with fasting. When we remember why we fast, we're likely to purify our intention, likely to be energized about the fasting, likely to prepare ourselves for it, and also likely to distinguish between what is going to help us and what's going to stop us in achieving the message of the fast in Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha الذين amanu kutiba alaykum الصيام. O you who have iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is eliciting a response that is based on what? On the iman that you will have in your heart. And your response, your reaction to Allah's call will depend on how much iman you have. So you want to actually increase that iman or listen to it carefully if your iman is not high, so that you can have the type of reaction that would enable you to succeed in that month, to succeed in responding to Allah's call. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have iman, listen. Even if your iman is low at this moment, listen. Allah is saying, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been prescribed for you. What do we learn from this when we hear it? When you know that this Islam is a religion of mercy, Hanifiyatun samha, it's an easy religion. There is no burden in it as the burden was put on previous nations. Yet you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this as an obligation, fasting, on every adult. Every adult, with few exceptions, every adult has to fast. And though there are some challenges in it, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it a almost universal obligation. And this tells you what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this thing. And that this thing is very significant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah had made it an obligation on everyone. Otherwise, there are other things in Islam that are not an obligation on everyone. They are recommended or obligations on few people, but on every single Muslim. Why? Because this is something that is very important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudusi, مَا تَقَرَّبَ عَبْدِي إِلَيَّ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطْتُ عَلَيْهِ. My slave will not come closer to me with something that is more beloved to me than what I have obligated on him or her. That is, the things that Allah obligates on us are the things that He loves the most. And this obligation, which is a pillar of the pillars of Islam, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves tremendously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the hadith al-Qudusi, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ تَرَكَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He says, all the actions of the child of Adam are his. Except for fasting, it is for me. And I will reward for it. He has left temptations, what tempts him, what attracts him, his desires, and his food and his drink for my sake. So Allah is saying that all your actions of worship belong in one category. This is yours. Fasting, on the other hand, has its own unique category. It is for me. What does this mean? What is it for me? Where all our actions are supposed to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for Him. What does it mean that fasting is for me? You know, the ulama and the commentators have said, among the reasons, is that fasting is the least susceptible to riya, to showing off, to doing things so that other people can notice you and admire you and praise you. Fasting is the least susceptible to that. And they also said that typically people worship other people and other things with all acts of worship. Seldom do they do it with fasting. People can prostrate and pray to other people. But seldom do they fast for the sake of another person. They can do it sometimes, but seldom do they do it. So it is a unique type of worship. And it's interesting here to contrast. If a government wants to legislate fasting, they can try to enforce it. And in public we will comply. But as soon as you enter your home, you're free to do whatever you want. No one can monitor you. No one can stop you. Yet when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here see the difference, when Allah legislates and commands, you'll be in your home alone, you'll be hungry, you'll be thirsty, and you have a food in your fridge and there's cold water, and you will not dare to move and take a sip or take a bite. Why? And no one is watching. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And that's why Allah says, and then it belongs to me. And the type of reward
that is suitable for that of action is with me. Different than other types of reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for other types of worship. And Allah explains, He leaves what He loves for my sake. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. To put what He loves before what we love. To put what He hates before what we hate. To be watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we watch other people around us. And that is fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it so much that the Prophet says, وَلَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. That the smell that comes from the mouth of the fasting person is sweeter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of musk, which is the sweetest of the sweetest smells. If this is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the smell that comes out of his or her mouth, imagine the person. Think about how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love that person if he loves that smell so much. And to testify to its importance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. As it was prescribed for people before you. And subhanallah, you know, as a testimony to this, you look at all other religions. And most of them, if not all of them, will have a tradition of fasting in them. Will have a practice of fasting in them, testifying to the truth in that ayah. They practice it in one way or another. Either they abstain from food or drink, or from food, or from certain types of food, but they have that practice in them. Either it was revealed to them in one form or another from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they adopted that from a revealed religion. So all of them had it. What does that mean? That it is an essential worship. Like salah. Like charity. It's an essential worship in the construction of the Muslim. In creating a Muslim whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And when the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and I just here want to contrast how we sometimes look at these obligations and how they looked at those obligations. Because there is definitely some challenges in fasting, like there are challenges with anything of value in this life. If it is worthwhile, there's challenge in it. If it is very easy, it's not worth it at the end. So there is some challenge in it. And sometimes we might feel hesitant, resistant to that challenge. I'm going to leave what I like. I'm going to leave food. It's going to be hard, etc., etc. But they, radiyallahu anhum, looked at it as an opportunity, as a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a blessing. They used to say in their poetry, Allahumma lawla anta mahtadayna, wala tasaddaqna, wala sallayna. Ya Allah, if not for you, we would not be guided. And we would not know anything about giving sadaqah, charity. And we would not know how to pray. So they're not looking at it as, oh subhanAllah, this is a burden, this is something that is heavy. But they're looking at it as what? Here is guidance that had come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Allah, we would know nothing about this. We would not be guided. We would be like animals or close to them. But Allah taught us, guided us. And the pillars of that guidance, they're saying, Allah taught us that we should give charity, and that's a ni'mah. Allah taught us how to pray, and that's a ni'mah. And also Allah taught us that we should fast, and that is a ni'mah. That's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Qur'an, about the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, after he is recording what the non-believers were saying to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهِ. Bring another Qur'an than the one that you brought us, or change it. And after he says, on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي. I cannot change it by my own, because it's not mine to change. He says, قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ. Say, if Allah had willed, if it was Allah's desire to be so, I would not have recited that and read it before you, and you would not have known anything about it. One of the things that you take from that it was a possibility that Allah would not have revealed the Qur'an to humanity. that the Quran that you have in front of you, that when you open and you feel that serenity and peace in you, that gives you all of these answers, that had created the Islam that we see around us, that saves from punishment in the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have not have revealed it to you. And then where would you have been? And what would you do? And where would you get that guidance from? Now in the same fashion, I want you to think about everything that you love about Ramadan. About the fasting itself, about the qiyam, about the Quran, about the dua, everything, anything. Anything that you love about Ramadan. Then think about it. Who put that in place? If not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ramadan would be like an ordinary month. It would come, it would pass, we would know nothing about it. Everything that you would love about it would not be there. And if not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so, we would not be enjoying the fruits of that month. So it is a ni'mah and an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how they looked at it. And this is how we also should look at it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the ayah by saying what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is the objective. Allah had obligated this fast and made taqwa the objective that you should reach and you should rush to. And what is this taqwa here? Taqwa here is for you to protect yourself, shield yourself from the punishment and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to hold on to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. To be in a level of a heightened spirituality where you are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that you're doing and everything that you are saying. You know that the Prophet ﷺ, just to see the connection between siyam and taqwa. Taqwa is to avoid Allah's anger, to avoid everything that Allah hates. And the Prophet ﷺ says, as-siyamu junnah. As-siyam, fasting, is a shield. Think of armor, think of a shield in a battle that protects you from everything, from the blows of your enemy, from harm. So is fasting. What does it protect you from? It protects you from Allah's anger, it protects you from hellfire, it protects you from sin. But also it protects you from every other thing that distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protects you from stinginess, protects you from being cold-hearted, protects you from being distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protects you from evil thoughts and evil actions. And that, all of that allows you to achieve the opposite of it. It allows you to be a generous person. It allows you to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be kind-hearted. It allows you, it expands your heart so that you can be a forgiving person. So that you can focus on what is important in your life and not what is not important. There is this myth in fasting that when I'm fasting, I'm going to be more irritable. That when I'm fasting, I'm going to be angrier than usual because I'm missing something. But that is not what the Prophet ﷺ instructed us to do. That's not what he expected from us. That's not the realization of the fast. Because what does he say? He says, وَإِنِ امْرُؤٌ قَاتَلَهُ أَوْ شَاتَمَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي امْرُؤٌ صَائِمٌ إِنِّي امْرُؤٌ صَائِمٌ. He says, when a person is fighting with you, with the fasting person, you're fasting and a person is fighting with you, or quarreling with you, let him say, I am a fasting person, with his tongue, so that he can hear it and the other person would hear it. I'm a fasting person, I'm a fasting person. So here, the Prophet ﷺ is not expecting from us to engage in the type of activity that we justify, oh, because I am fasting, I'm excused because I'm doing so. He says, no, it's the opposite. Because fasting is supposed to transform you. It's not about just staying away from food and drink. Because think about it, if you're fighting with someone, quarreling with someone, and you tell them, I'm not eating or drinking today, what does it have to do with the fight or with the quarrel? I'm not eating today. Yeah, I'm not drinking today. That's not it. But there is more than that. Because previous to that statement, He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَصْخَبْ وَلَا يَجْهَلْ. When it is the day when you are fasting, let you not speak rafath, which is vulgarity, or sakhab, loud speech, because you're arguing with people, or speaking jahl, speaking ignorance, or acting in ignorance. This is what is expected. That this fast is not simply or only about, I'm not going to eat for this day, I'm not going to drink for this day. But it's supposed to be a comprehensive fast. It moves from not eating and drinking, but it becomes a fast that includes all of us, all of our bodies, all of our senses, all of our ideas and thoughts. That's what fasting is. So I will watch what my tongue is saying. I will watch what the other people are saying to me. I will remind them that this is a fasting time, so it's different. It's a different level. It's a different plane. There are different expectations. It should be seen in my behavior. I'm not shouting, I'm not crying, I'm not arguing. No, I'm catching myself. No, this is different. This is different. And even when someone tries to push you into an argument, you're careful enough to stop yourself and realize that this day is different, that its obligations are different, and it should transform me. That's why if a person just engages and only simply engages in the physical, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, he achieves one level of fasting, but not the desired level of fasting. In another hadith, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. The one who does not leave the saying of falsehood and acting according to falsehood, Allah needs not from him to leave his food and drink. Of course it remains as an obligation on the person. But here the Prophet is telling you what Allah really wants from you. Not that level, not that just physical abstinence from food and drink. He says, what about your tongue? What about your heart? What about your eyes? You should allow yourself to be completely transformed. Open yourself to complete transformation because you are fasting. And this did not only happen with us. This happened with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They used to say about him, this is in Al-Bukhari, كان رسول الله أجود الناس. He was, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the most generous person. Before I continue, what does this generosity come from? It's not just simply a habit, it comes from iman. Because when you have generosity inside, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inside, you're able to be generous on the outside. When you perceive Allah's forgiveness on the inside, you can be forgiving on the outside. You can be patient. You can be content. All of it comes from the inside. So it's just only natural. If he had the highest of iman, he'd be the most generous person, alayhi salatu wasalam. But also generosity is in level. And they noticed, وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ وَذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَ يُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ فَلَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَجْوَدُ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So that at the moment, or at the time of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ was especially generous. He's generous throughout the year, but especially generous in the time of Ramadan. Why? Because Jibreel descend, alayhi salam, and the both of them read the entire Quran, they study the entire Quran every night. So say because of that, the Prophet ﷺ would be especially generous, more generous than the flowing wind. This is absolute generosity. Human generosity. Where did this come from? From fasting, from meeting Jibreel, from reading the Quran. So there is a transformation that happens even in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So there also should be a transformation that happens in us as a result of this month. So when this month approaches, when this month comes and we start fasting, let us remember, we're not just simply physically abstaining from food and drink. This is a holistic experience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put this to help us transform ourselves entirely. Move from one level to another, from one spiritual level, from practical level, to another spiritual and practical level. And this happens through the month of Ramadan. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, fasting also is not simply a physical event, meaning it's not just simply humans or some humans engaging in the act of fasting, abstaining from food and drink. But it is a cosmic, it's a metaphysical event as well. It happens in a plane that we do not perceive, but we are told about. And that tells us also about its importance. Not just a month like any other month. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find that also in al-Bukhari, إِذَا جَاءَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. He says, when the month of Ramadan comes, the gates of heaven will open, and the gates of hellfire will be shut, and the devils will be chained. So imagine here, when the month of Ramadan and you are starting to fast, and you have to bring this into your mind as you are fasting, to understand the importance, the significance of what we are doing. Imagine here, heaven, and heaven is great. Is great in size, and it has these great gates. And imagine these great gates opening for the entire month. And imagine then these great gates of hellfire closing for the entire month. This is something great happening above the seventh heaven that we don't know about, we don't perceive, but we feel when we read the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we feel that it's happening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here chains the devils. We don't see it, but it's happening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling you, come hither, come forth, come to me. Because the doors of my mercy are open and the doors of my answer are closed. And that being that was destined, that was put on this earth to destroy you, I have chained. And here you have an opportunity more than any other time to come close to me. What is it that you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is the month for it. Throughout the year, we carry the burden of sin on our shoulders, don't we? Throughout the year, we carry the burden of worry on our shoulders. The burden of this life, of things that we wanted but we did not get, of problems that we are suffering and going through. Throughout the year we're carrying so much, anxious, disturbed, agitated, clueless, we don't know what to do. And yet here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, here is this month, here is this station, take advantage of it. If your burden, if your sin is troubling you, he says, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. When you fast Ramadan with iman, with belief in Allah, anticipating reward from Him, all your previous sins will be forgiven. من قام رمضان, the one who prays during Ramadan, the same thing. All his previous sins are forgiven. So if you have a sin and you're worried about it, you want to get rid of it, this is the month. You have something that you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you want to ask Him, and you've been asking. This is your month. Ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعْ. When my slaves ask you about me, I am close, I answer their prayer. This was inserted in between the verses about fasting. It is relevant to them. If you have this burden, Allah is telling you, whatever your burden is, unload it. Unload it in that month. Worry, don't worry. And believe in Allah and have reliance on Him and trust in Him. You want something, ask me in that month. And come close to me so I can give you everything that you want and better than it. So this is your month, this is your refuge, this is your harbor. And it is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given to you.
has given to me, has given to all of us. So when we look at it, don't look at it, oh, the month is coming, and it's a burden, and it's this, and it's that. Look at it as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, ya Allah, alhamdulillah, praise to you, thank you, that you've extended you my life so I can live during this month, so I can say something in it, do something in it, that when I die, I'll say this happened during that particular month of Ramadan. If you want to be a better person, and all of us want to be better people, right? All of us have ideas in our head of where we want to be, but the reality is different. We want to be here, but the reality is different. This, you can take steps in the month of Ramadan to achieve where you want to be. Who you are in your head versus reality. You can take steps in Ramadan. You can discipline yourself. You can ask Allah. You can find support. The doors of rahmah are open. They're just waiting for the person who wants to enter. You don't even need to knock. You just need to enter. So make the month of Ramadan a month of rahmah for you, a month of opportunity. Receive it as the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet used to receive it, and thank Allah for it. And don't waste a single day of it. And remember, before the month comes and throughout the month, why am I fasting? And make that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and everything bad that we've done in the past year. So Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, we ask you to make us all here, and everybody who hears this, of the people who are forgiven in the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, forgive all of our sins in the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, help us to fast it, iman and wahtisaba. Ya Allah, help us to fast it, iman and wahtisaba. Ya Allah, enable us to fast it, iman and wahtisaba. Ya Allah, enable us to pray in it, iman and wahtisaba. Ya Allah, enable us to pray in it, iman and wahtisaba. Ya Allah, enable us to pray in it, iman and wahtisaba. Ya Allah, make us of those who fast Ramadan as you would love them to fast it. Ya Allah, make us of those who learn the lessons of the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, make us of those who acquire the lessons of the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, make us of those who apply in their lives the lessons of the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, make us of those who make dua in it. And make us of those whose dua is accepted in the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins and the sins of the rest of the Muslims. Ya Allah, we ask you for all the good in this life and in the hereafter. And we seek your refuge from all evil in this life and in the hereafter. And we ask you for heaven and everything that will bring us near to it. And we seek your protection from hellfire and everything that will bring us near to it. And we ask you all the good that your messenger had asked you for. And we seek your protection from all the evil that your messenger had sought your protection from. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-khayra كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله ونسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم بلغنا رمضان وأعنا فيه على وأعنا على صيامه وقيامه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن صامه إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن قامه إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم اغفر لنا فيه الذنوب وأزل عنا فيه الهموم واشفنا فيه من الأمراض. اللهم اجعلنا ممن دعاك فيه فاستجبت دعاءه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن دعاك فيه فاستجبت دعاءه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن دعاك فيه فاستجبت دعاءه. اللهم احمل عنا همومنا. اللهم اكفنا فأنت حسبنا. اللهم اكفنا فأنت حسبنا. اللهم اكفنا فأنت حسبنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وأعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. أقيم الصلاة.
Allah.